Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. I'm your host, Michelle G. As always, if you would like to call with your questions or comments, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Again, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Tonight's show is designed to be an inspiration. I have joining me tonight Isna Tianti. Now, you all know that I am admittedly horrible with names, so I do hope that I pronounced it right, but if I didn't, I hope that she corrects me when she comes on the line. I designed this show to be an inspiration because from what I've come to learn about this young lady in the last month or so, she is an inspiration with her words. It's like she lets her pen just sail across the paper, and they're all the words of inspiration. And when she's not writing inspiration, she's speaking inspiration through her spoken words. I'm so excited and have been excited for the last longest trying to get her, you know, set up a time to get her on the show. We missed our initial meeting on the show because she was supposed to be, she is one of the collaborators on Lessons from My Grandmother's Lap with Regina Sunshine Robertson, and the time that she was supposed to be on the show, she had an incident and she was unable to be on the show, and then I reached out to her and wanted to bring her on the show at a later time, and of course she went on a cruise, which I don't blame her. If I had a chance and opportunity at this point to go on a cruise, I would have been cruising too. And then we finally got our dates set and finally got our dates to match to where she can be on the show tonight, and I'm super, super excited. I can't wait to interview her. She is an author. She is a spoken word. I call her a phenom. She is also a, she also not only writes, but she's an artist. And I think that it's just amazing that she does all these wonderful things, and how she finds the time, I do not know. I'm going to read a little bit of her bio, and then I'm going to bring her on the air. And in just a few moments, I'm going to read her bio and then bring her on.
It's on system now. It's on. Done. Ready to on.
Okay. I had to find my paper, you guys. I was a little bit disorganized today. I had some other things going on that kind of left me a little bit disorganized, but I'm getting it together. So bear with me. And you guys know that if something's going on, I don't try to hide it. I just try to, you know, be as transparent as possible, because guess what? I'm human, and I have, you know, life issues that go on outside of this. I'm just happy that I'm able to bring her onto the show tonight. So let me read a little bit of her bio, because I don't want her to be on hold very long and waiting to get on the show. She is the first and for, she is first and foremost the a child of the Most High. Secondly, a proud mother of three beautiful seeds, an author, a multi-talented artist, veteran of the USAF, and entrepreneur. She is a three-time published author, poet, spoken word, visual artist, designer, and motivational activist. She has been writing poetry and drawing since the age of 5, a print model since the age of 9, and a runway model since the age of 19. She has modeled for Proline, Revlon, Cross Colors Clothing Line, and was selected as BET's poster girl in 1991. She was crowned Miss African Times Los Angeles in 1992. After losing her mother in 1992 in a car accident in which she was the passenger, she was diagnosed with PTSD and suffered with survivor's guilt and other health issues. She made it her sole mission to trade her runway modeling for role modeling, turning her shame to helping herself for first and then helping others. As a result of her pain, she knows her life was spared to share. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on, and I'll read the rest of her bio later on in the show. I want to go ahead and bring her on so we can go ahead and get the show started. Hello. How are you?
I am wonderful, Michelle G. How are you?
I'm good. Can you please tell me, if I pronounce your name right, please tell me how to pronounce it. I am horrible with names.
You pronounced it perfectly. And I was really
surprised
that you did. You pronounced it correctly, which many don't, but it's okay. I don't mind correcting, because it is an uncommon name. So I just appreciate you even taking the honors of having me on your show and allowing me to speak to your audience.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Trust me. And you just don't know. I practiced your name for like a week without even knowing if I was pronouncing it right to begin with. I just kept practicing it, the different ways that I could say it. And the only one that sounded right was
properly.
The way I said it.
You said it properly.
Thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. And you know what? I laugh, and the listeners know, because that's one thing that I struggle with so much. I have messed up people's names. But if I feel like if you can't admit, you know, that's one of my shortcomings. And it's something that I struggle with, and I don't mind laughing at myself.
And
you know, because I'm not perfect.
And I'm perfect.
Exactly. So since we're on that topic, can you tell me the origin of your name?
Yes, my mother and my father found my name on the globe. And it's a body of water in Egypt, spelled E-S-N-A, Isna, but they spelled it with an I. But I also found out after extensive research that my name is also associated with the goddess Nit. And she was a weaver of relationships. She was a warrior and pretty much a protector. And that is pretty much what I embody in my character, in my attempt to really merge everything that I do to help inspire and keep us all together as far as our relationships.
Wow, that's really interesting. I was like, you know what? If I get a chance, I'm going to ask her, because I'm really interested in knowing where her name originated from. And that's wow. I would have never thought, you know what I mean? I would have never thought that. I want to jump right in, because I want to talk to you about a lot of different things. And I started following you on some things and looking at, you know, just different things that you do. And you have accomplished so much. And I almost didn't know where to start, but I guess I should start by just asking you, with all the different hats that you do wear, and I know that, you know, I wear many different hats, you know, entrepreneur, you know, radio host and different hats, you know, I'm an elder, I'm a minister. So, you know, I wear different hats and, you know, and I have a full-time job, mom and all that. With all those different hats, how do you transition when you're with wearing one hat and then and jump into the other mode? And how do you juggle it all? Because for me, sometimes I find it difficult that I don't always give the appropriate amount of time for certain things. How do you do it?
Well, I'm going to be totally honest. When I wake up, and I'm not trying to be all spiritual, but before I plant my feet on the ground, I ask for direction and which way I'm to go for that particular day, because I do so many things. I know that I can pretty much go with the wind on my own, but I know that I'm more concerned with making sure that my footsteps are ordered. And for whatever the purpose is set for that day, I want to make sure that I'm operating in it. So it's really not a struggle for me to jump from here to there, because I really seek wisdom and guidance in how I structure my day, how I maneuver through my day. And today, really, because of this interview, I was compelled to go into my artistry mode as far as, like, doing visual art. So that's what I've been doing all day.
Wow. And see, that's another thing. I'm so interested in all of that. And for me, I love to write. and I have notepads and legal pads all over the place. And, you know, I never know when God, and it seems like, you know, sometimes with certain things, when it comes to like sermons and different things and different ideas, it seems like God always waits till I go to sleep and try to call myself going to sleep. And then I'm like, Lord, I'm for real. Like, you didn't know, you didn't see me. I was awake like 2 hours ago. I had a lot of energy 2 hours ago, and now you want to talk. So I keep notepads. I got notepads on top of notepads all over the place. And then there's times when I'm sitting at work and he just starts downloading and pouring stuff into me. I'm so inspired. And inspire, everything I do is about inspiration, because I love to inspire other people. And just what you just said inspired me, as far as, you know, and I always make sure, you know, you pray first thing in the morning, but God has had to tell me a couple of times, slow down. You know, because I go, so,
really,
you know what I mean?
About. Yes. I'm going to be honest. Maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was wondering why I was so fatigued and diagnosed with fibromyalgia back in 2015. So my body was going through a state of pain I had never experienced. Even giving birth was not as painful as dealing with the fibromyalgia. And
wow.
I happened to be a full-time student at Georgia State Perimeter at the time for journalism. And this happened right after my daughter's birthday. I woke up feeling like my whole left side of my body was just numb. I couldn't move. I thought I was having a heart attack or something. But what I later found out after MRIs and all the other CAT scans, they found out that it was dealing with fibromyalgia and from my trauma. And I had to quit school. But that was the best thing that I could have ever had to experience and go through, because just like you said, sometimes we're thinking we're supposed to be on one path, but God will have something or allow something to take place in your life to kind of curtail your whole path, what you thought was the direction. Had I not been in school, or had I been in school rather, I would not have started with the spoken word, doing different gigs. I was already doing spoken word, but as far as being available to go out and minister through my spoken word, being able to finish my book, being able to take advantage of being at home with my children more, all those things were important to me, but I was so focused on finishing school that everything else took a back seat. But God curtailed my whole journey, and it was through pain.
Yes.
But your pain
wow.
isn't always to cause you to just stop. It actually propelled me to do more. I did more once I found out about the fibromyalgia because I was like, well, if I'm going to be inflicted with pain, if I'm going to be inflicted from this trauma, then I have to make sure it is for a purpose. It has to, if I'm going to be in pain, I better birth some things. And that's how I saw it. I worked harder because even in travailing through labor, you're going to go through the labor pains. You're going to go through the back aches, the feet aching, the swelling. You're going to go through that. As women, when we give birth to our babies, there is pain associated with the beauty of birthing something. And so I knew I wasn't going to let my pain be in vain.
Yeah, wow. And see, you know what? I had someone on the show earlier in the year that had fibromyalgia, and people don't understand that you literally are in pain all the time.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was something else that I wanted to touch on, because as I was reading your bio, and I'm going to touch on this just for a moment. I really want to get into the spoken word because, you know, I love spoken word and poetry and all those things. And I want to get into, you know, talking about your books. But you went through a trauma in 1992 with the loss of your mother. And then you were diagnosed with PTSD. And for those of you listening who don't know what that is post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, but what I find amazing, and even with you just letting us know that you have fibromyalgia, with those two things, instead of you letting it beat you down, you know what I'm saying? You flipped it and you used it to help others. How difficult
was it when you first was diagnosed with PTSD? How difficult was it to put your pain and your shame and guilt, as you described in your bio? How hard was it for you to put that aside and say, you know what, I'm not going to let this thing beat me. I'm going to take this, and this is what I'm going to do with it.
It actually took years. After the car incident with my mother and I went through a silence for 7 years as far as writing. And the only way I found out that it was actually 7 years is in 2001, I began to organize my poetry. And I was trying to figure, okay, these are for the years up until and then after. After my mom had transitioned, there was 7 years of no writing. And I didn't even realize that I had not been writing. I may have had one or two poems within that seven-year period. But I went through a breakdown in 2001 after 9/11 had occurred. And everyone was labeling me everything under the sun except for what it was. I had another car accident in the military, which I buried that trauma as well, because as a soldier in the military, you just soldier up. You put everything behind you. You keep on moving. You pull your bootstraps up and you keep on pressing. And I did. Trauma after trauma, I kept suppressing the pain, suppressing the trauma. And it hit me all at one time. And I realized in 2001, I didn't have that strength that everyone thought that I possessed. I broke.
Yes.
Seven times I broke. And everyone was thinking I would never be in my right mind, I would never regain my sanity, that I would never get back up. But I was like, you know what, every single time I didn't have an option to stay down. And so every time that the Lord brought me through, I knew that he was bringing me to another phase in my life. And after seven times, you either gonna rise up or stay down. But the Bible says seven times will a man fall, but seven times will he rise. And so seven is also the number of completion. And I said I wasn't going to take my family through another episode of depression and traumatized behind the driving, behind the accidents, and all those different things. And so when I finally got diagnosed with the fibromyalgia, I realized, I was like, you know what, Isma, you've been going through pain a long time. And what are you going to make of it? What are you going to do to help your mother see that it wasn't in vain, that she spared your life? What are you going to do to make her stretch marks count? And that's what I've been doing. I owe it to my mother. I owe it to our ancestors. I owe it to those who are in my family that have been rooting for me. I owe it. But first I realized I owed it to myself. We always put self in it and think that you're, you know, being a martyr for everyone else. But then I realized, you got to do this for you, baby girl, because at the end of the day, if you're not well, nobody that you come into contact with, no one that you think you're going to have relations with is going to be healthy if you don't get yourself well. And so everything that I do, the writing, the art, the spoken word, that is therapy. It's therapy, and not only for myself, but for others. And I try to be as candid as I can, because I want people to know you're not the only one going through. If you're stressed and depressed and all that, you're not the only one going through it. And there are people out there who can relate and empathize and sympathize with you. And so that's why I do what I do. And I thank Regina for even doing the book. I know you didn't bring that in, but I'm bringing that in. Because I had just lost my grandmother last year, and that was the last rock as far as the women in my family, the matriarch. She passed away before her 91st birthday, and I was like, I had to jump on that opportunity to tell the lessons that my grandmother had taught me, because that was my heart. After my mom passed, she was the one I went to.
Yes.
So now, I don't have those matriarchs in my family, but God has blessed me with some phenomenal godmothers, some women of wisdom and that have been planted in my life to help me navigate through this life. without a mother being in my life. So I'm so grateful for that. But to answer your question, yes, it's all therapy. It's all therapy.
And see, I said that too, and I did have that down as I one of the, you know, one of the questions I wanted to point that talk about, because we did miss the interview about when I had the other people who collaborated with Regina on on the book. I was gonna, you know, I wanted to ask with, you know, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you about, you know, writing about your grandmother, and when they were on the show, I had a moment of transparency, and I allowed myself to be vulnerable because I began to talk about my grandmother and the state that she's in at this present time. And I realized that even talking to them, the ladies, that writing was therapeutic for them.
Yes.
I agree. So sometimes when I write just to get stuff out that I can't always say in my words. And I write through tears. Like some of the pages, if I go back and I flip through them and I can see, okay, this was where I was crying. Because the ink is a little bit, you know, a little bit smeared, it helps to get that out, because sometimes you don't have the words, and you have the words, but you can't verbally say them out loud. So to write, how out of everything, being that your grandmother, you were so close to your grandmother, especially after your mother passed away, how did you just choose just one story to talk about her? How did you find the one?
I wrote a poem. I wrote a poem where it's a lot of, I think there was one other author who wrote a poem as well to describe their relationship with their grandmother. But I did as well because my grandmother was a poet. And so there was no other way that I felt that I could honor her than writing a poem to express the poetry that she displayed in my life. And so that's why I ended up writing a poem. But then in the end, I summarized it basically saying that she was my blessing. I spell blessing B-L-E-S-S-O-N because there were so many lessons that she taught me. And it was all from a blessing standpoint. I knew that God blessed me with something so phenomenal in my grandmother. I can't even describe the impact that she made in my life. But I know that I did not take her death as hard as I did, because now I've had so much loss in my life that I now understand that she is always going to be here with me in spirit. Her flesh may not be here, but she fought a good fight, and so I'm not mad at the process or the transitioning, because she left me with so many golden nuggets that I can't be mad, I can't be sad. I can only now use what she gave me as
what
the tools
left
to keep on going.
Wow. And see, that's just, and I think that's one reason why, you know, just talking to all the ladies, we had that in common, that the impact that our grandmothers have had in our lives. And that we discuss how sometimes this generation, they don't have a lot of that to look forward to. They don't have not saying that there are no, you know, cornerstones, no matriarchs of the family. There are some, but it's not like it was when we were growing up. Like, you know, we had those strong family ties, and a lot of times you don't see that now. And, you know, and we talked about that on the show, and it was just so wonderful just being able to just speak about it, just to talk about it. It was just so wonderful. I have so much I want to ask you. I really do. But
was
now I know that you begin, you know, writing and drawing and stuff like your bio said when you were 5 years old. Now, did you ever think at that young of an age, because you went on to model, you went on to join the armed forces, you went on to do all of these things, did you ever think at 5 years old that everything will come full circle and that you will
not.
Be doing what you used to do at 5 years old?
I did not. But I can say as clear as day, I remember vividly my mom playing music every Saturday morning. It was either James Cleveland, Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder, Nancy Wilson,
yeah.
The Main Ingredients, all of those. And I used to take the album covers and I used to read. And I was like, this, in my spirit, I just felt like, this sounds good. Not only to my ear audibly, but even visually, I was able to read. And it was something about the Key of Life that Stevie Wonder, it planted a seed in me that I didn't even know was being planted. And I just started writing. I remember for Mother's Day in kindergartner, they had us write a poem for our mothers for Mother's Day. And my mom doted on that. And that made me feel good. Of course, every child wants to feel that what you created was embraced. And my great-grandmother, she had my pictures on her dresser. So it was a lot of things that made me feel that what I was doing was something good, even at that age. But I had no clue that I would gravitate to the arts as I have. I knew in junior high, people used to make me write poems for their boyfriends or their girlfriends. Like, you should write a poem. I didn't have a boyfriend in high school or junior high, so I live vicariously through my friends and writing poems for them and their relationships. So I've always had a sense of feeling what other people might feel. People have called me an empath, and when I looked up that word at first, I thought it was a negative. But then I realized, no,
yes.
It just means that I can feel deeply for other people.
Yes.
I feel deeply people. When people are hurting. I feel deeply when people are happy. I genuinely am happy when people are happy. And I genuinely feel sorrow when people are sorrowful. So it's just now having a balance, knowing how to balance that, because I used to not know how to balance my emotions when it came to that. What then, you know, hence the imbalance even with post-traumatic stress. You don't know how to balance out the stressors that causes you to be traumatized over and over and over again until you find that coping mechanism. And I did go to therapy because I didn't know how to find, even though it was already within, I didn't know how to tap into it because I was so depressed. But now it is a totally different ball game. And it's not to say that I don't get triggered, because driving triggers me. But I'm not as reactive as I used to be when people cut me off, or reactive when people don't use their blinkers. I get upset, but I don't follow people like I used to. And I know that sounds funny, but yes, I did. At one point in my life, I used to follow people because I wanted to tell them, hey, you just cut me off, but today you will get yourself killed doing something like that.
Yes.
So I
had
to balance.
Yes. See, I have an issue. I have a little bit of road rage, and I've gotten a lot better. I'm learning to slow down, but I used to be bad, like really, really bad, to where I would follow people, make sure I get up on it. I would go in front of them, slam on my brakes, cut them off, turn so that they have no other choice but to stop, just so I can curse them out. You know, at that time. That was in my way younger days. But now I've calmed down a lot, to where the only thing I still have an issue with is slowing down. I always seem to be in a hurry, even when I don't have nowhere to be. It's like it's just automatic. I'm always rushing. So, but as far as like letting people, you know, I've calmed down some. And I'm still praying, Lord, help me with this.
I'm going to tell you, Michelle, just recently, just this past Sunday, we were 8 minutes from being in the same location where the mass shooter was in Jacksonville, Florida. We had just left the landing. And so when we got to our final destination and we heard the news of the shooting, we looked at each other, my sisters and my cousins and I, we were like, wait a minute. Had God not allowed us to understand the timing, when to leave, how to take a different route, all of those things started resonating in our heads. And as we looked in hindsight, I was like, that could have been us had we stayed 4 minutes longer. So I'm learning that timing is everything.
Mm.
Whether you are, and we have to slow down sometimes because we could be preventing something that God sees ahead. Sometimes we do have to speed up, but that is that spirit of discernment that we all need to operate more in, because it will lead and guide us into not being in a place we don't need to be, or going a little quicker. Not saying you're going to speed, but sometimes you can't lag behind. And I'm learning timing is so important in every aspect and every facet of our living.
Wow.
So
that's
I'm
just,
grateful.
Just, yes. And I can't even imagine, like, and I have found myself, you know, running late for something and then finally getting to where, you know, going down the road that I'm supposed to be going down, and there's an accident. And I'm like, okay, Lord, thank you. Because had I been a few minutes earlier trying to rush and get there, I would have been in, that could have been me.
That's
so
right.
I'm learning that, you know, okay, Lord, I don't know why, it's just, you know, I'm learning how to slow down. As I get older, I realize that it's not that serious, you know, with certain things. The things that I usually would just like run to, now I'm like, okay, it's all right. And now the other things that are more important, like making sure that I'm serving my purpose, making sure that my when I do something that is intentional, you know, making sure that those things are intentional and that they have purpose behind them, that's becoming more important to me. Because at the end of the day, and I said this, you know, I've said this so many times, at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I serve my purpose, that what and that I reach all those people that are attached to the yes that I gave God.
Yes.
And when I've done that, I'm good. I know that I'm here for a purpose. And it's not so that my name can be called. It's not, you know, it's not for any recognition, but it's only so that he can get the glory.
Well, I already
and
know.
And I'm learning
people
that.
People think it's all about the fame. It's not. It's not about the fame.
It's
I'm going to be so honest. I've never really took into the whole idea that you need 5,000 people following you, or you need to have 10,000 people on Instagram, or I've never bought into the numbers, because I realize whether I go speak to an audience of a captive audience of one, that person who was there, who needed to be ministered to, that is really all that matters. I've gone to events where people have paid me to, and it may be like 20 people there, and they had told me it was going to be 3,000. And when I got there, they were like, you know, I'm sorry, don't be mad about what? Now, the only thing I was mad about is that you did not be, you weren't honest in your dealings and telling me that you didn't even have people reserve a spot, but they had me travel. It wasn't about the number of the people that were being ministered to, but the integrity behind the action in itself. So it doesn't matter whether it's one or 1,000. That one person can change the trajectory of the whole world. All it takes is one.
All it takes is one. And I have learned that, and I thank God for maturity, because maturity isn't in the number. It isn't in the in your age and how old you are. I've learned with growing and maturing that, you know, even like when I did my celebration last year for my 1 year celebration, in the beginning I was like, okay, the people are not signing up, and all that. And then I finally realized, okay, even if it's just two people there, who's supposed to be there is there. And that's all that matters. And now I tell people all the time when they, you know, call me or whatever, and I talk to them and, you know, try to encourage them, I'm like, it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. You don't need a lot of people. You need the right people.
That's right.
And as long as I have the right people that are there, it doesn't matter to me And I don't look at, you know, whether this person knows my name or knows my title, because when God talks to me, he doesn't call me Michelle G from the Be Inspired with Michelle G show. He doesn't call me Elder Gerald. He calls me Michelle.
Yes.
What I answer to, Michelle. And a lot of times I tell people, you know, unless we're in certain settings that where it's appropriate to use that title, call me Shell. I'm good. Because it's not in the title, because at the end of the day, if I'm not serving my purpose, what good is my title anyway?
That's right.
So I understand fully what you mean about it's not about how many people. And I stopped looking at that. And even with my radio show, thank God that he has blessed me with this platform, that it has increased and the listeners are steady increasing, you know, nationwide. You know, a few weeks ago, the Bahamas joined on, and South Africa has joined on, you know, and it's nationwide. And I thank God for that. And I always give him honor for this platform, but I always pray before the show. And I say, God, if just one person is inspired, then I serve my purpose. Because you gave me this platform. I always pray that, you know, you take the lead. That's why when God takes the show in another direction, I don't try to veer it back. I don't try to look at no notes. I just go with how he flows. And in the beginning, when
I
first started the show.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I appreciate that because you didn't ask me any prompts, you know, send me any questions about what you wanted to talk about. I didn't prepare really for what I wanted to say other than just speak from my heart. And that's really what I do when I do public speaking. I don't really prepare speeches. You can prepare something all day long, but if spirit want to take you somewhere else, that's exactly where you're going to go, where spirit leads.
That's exactly.
And that's if you allow
exactly
that to manifest, if you allow that to take place.
Exactly. If you allow it to happen, and I always allow God to have his space, because if it were not for him, I wouldn't be in this space. And in the beginning of my show, when I first started on the air, I kept, after every show, the next couple of days, I was going to look and see how many people listen. And then Regina told me, she said, Michelle, all you have to do is do the show. God, the number is no longer your business. That's God's business now.
Look, do the show.
So now I don't even check. Exactly. And I don't even go back and check now. I don't even look at the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Now, when I have to check, like, as far as, like, doing advertising and all that, that's when I see the stats and those things. But, and like, you know, the people in the different countries that are listening. But other than that, I don't check it anymore. Because, you know, that encouragement is like, okay, that's no longer my business. That's God's business. All I need to do is just get on there. And I never give questions because I like for the show to flow however God wants it to flow.
Yes.
And it just works out. And even with that, the way you have a play on words, I know this is jump because sometimes I jump from this to this, but on my show, I'm just me. So this is just me. And it just popped in my mind, some of the things that I've read and saw, how you have such a play on words is just amazing to me. Like you use the blessing, like with the lesson in it, and some other things that I saw, seen that you've done. The play on words, and I know that that's just you know, God's way of using you, using your creativity, that talent, that gift that he's giving you. With that being said, being an author, being an artist, a visual artist, being having all the roles that you play in, and the roles that you take on, the roles that you are in, is there any one role that you like more than the other? That you're more drawn to than the other?
I really enjoy the spoken word. I enjoy sharing it. I enjoy delivering it. I enjoy having to learn it because there's so many facets to it other than just writing it. As a spoken word artist, you have to, if you want to be able to deliver it in a way where people can receive it in the manner in which you intend to deliver it, you have to you have to go over it. You have to say it like you mean it. And my memory, I won't say it's the best, but there's something about when it is in my spirit, there is no problem with me reciting it. it comes almost as if I'm speaking naturally, because it is something that I believe so deeply in that it's not even a matter of me trying to rehearse it in my head. I'm like, okay, did I say the right line? Whatever line comes out, then that's what was supposed to be said. And I never go back and I'm like, oh, man. There have been times I've been on the stage and then I realize I skipped the whole stanza. But in my head, I'm like, you know what? Maybe that would have tripped somebody else up if I had said that particular stanza.
Wow.
Or if I don't remember the ending, then I still say something where I'm blessing my audience, because it's really not about me just memorizing something, but it has to be heart memory. For me, it has to be first heart memory. It's not about my mind memorizing these words. But if it's not in my heart, you're not going to receive it from my heart. You're going to just like, oh, she know that piece because she studied it. But when I deliver it, I want you to feel every fiber of what I'm saying so that you can relate, get healed, be inspired, whatever you need to get from it, I want you to get it. So spoken word, although I like writing quotes. That's something I do almost daily. But it's something about that spoken word that even when I need to encourage myself, I'm doing pieces in my car that will remind me the same thing you want other people to get, you also need to hear for yourself.
Wow. And you know what? I think that because I love spoken word. I love to just, you know, just being in the audience. It's not a talent of mine. I can write. And, you know, and I can, but it's not a talent of mine. But what I do love about it, and the way you just describe it, is when you can feel what they're saying. When it's not, just rehearsed, when you can feel what it's saying and certain words they can say and there's certain, you know, stanzas they can say, and it just like hits you. It takes you to a place of like, you know, sometimes it takes you to a place of remembering pain. Sometimes it takes you to a place of remembering just joy, a time when you were just so happy. It takes you to a place of just complete, just takes you to another level in your emotions, in your mind. And I think that's why I love it so much, because it just takes you to another place if you let it. And when you have the person up there, like you were just saying, when someone just speaks and they speak it from the heart, not just because it was written on paper and it sounded good on paper, but when they stand up and they speak it from their heart and you feel every single word, that to me is just, it's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. That's when I'm snapping my fingers. I'll just snapping. Yes. And I can barely contain myself. I'm like, yes, yes, because it's taking me to a place, even when it takes me to a place of pain, where it brings back a memory that was painful, it's like, yes. Because in that next line, that pain, it can take you to encouragement. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I actually wanted to share a piece with you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. And I'm going to tell you why I thank you before you said a piece. Because in my mind while you were talking, I was like, Lord, I want to ask her, can she just say something? But, you know, I don't want to put her on the spot. But let me ask her a little bit. Let me ask her. I was just going through that in my mind. Look
no,
at God.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. You have the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, this piece is called Get It, Girl. But I want for any of your listeners who are not girls to still get it. How you gonna give somebody else the keys to your happiness? Ain't nobody ever gonna give you 100% of their best, so give it and yourself a rest. And know that just because they can't shouldn't make you feel less. See, nobody's responsible for your mental, emotional, nor physical health. You've got to take ownership of your own. See, every seed won't produce a yielding just because it's sown. Baby girl, can't no man, family, nor friend give you nothing to the end of this world. So take back your joy. Take back your peace. Because if you don't, you may as well be walking deceased. Got yourself feeling all invisible and divided because of broken vowels and syllables, trying to make sense or why you give and gave everything to everyone else yet, feeling like you were thought past tense. Repent first by forgiving yourself for cheating on you. Forgive others for disappointing you too and holding unaccountable people to do what they say they'll do, because very few will hold their word or your hand. So understand, you must be your own backup plan. So you're the only one with the master key to happiness door. That's what self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-fulfillment is called that for. See, it's all in you. So start by doing your part. Stop blocking the entrances of love to your own heart, because your heart attacks are caused by negative words and thoughts you keep. You're the only one who can choose what you eat. So let self-love and positive words become your grub. Stop pacifying yourself with all that crying, because hurt people are going to hurt and liars will keep lying, telling yourself nobody values your wealth, saying don't nobody want me. But you won't even choose yourself. So you need to feed your mind positive words that affirm, and watch out for snakes posing as worms. Discern real from fake, and you won't continually make decisions that get you burned. See, baby girl, you got to make people earn your love and respect. And if they don't give, then in return, they just won't get. Kings and queens, you are enough. And you have everything you need inside. See, this was a message to myself as I looked in the mirror of my soul, which is where my real enemy resides.
Oh,
that's it.
My goodness. Woo! I don't know if you can hear me just snapping. I'm in here just snapping. And it took everything but I didn't want to override. I didn't want to be over so they could hear you clearly, every word you said. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I don't even know, like, for someone who has a gift, a gab, and wow, I don't even have no other words. That was so powerful.
Thank you, sister.
Oh my, that was so powerful. And as you were saying it, my fingers are just like throbbing because I was snapping all the whole time. As you were saying, I'm just snapping. I'm snapping away. And it's because it reminded me, and what that piece said to me, it reminded me of how many times I didn't love myself.
Yes.
And how many times I couldn't even look myself in the mirror because I hated what I saw. And how much I gave of myself to someone that didn't deserve it. That's what that piece said to me. It just spoke to me. It took me, wow, it just took me to that place that I was there. There was a time when I didn't have, forget low self-esteem, I had no self-esteem. And that piece took me there. But then with those other, the other lines, the other stanza, it just reminded me that I know my worth. I know my value. And I don't settle for that anymore. I can look in
That's
the mirror
right.
and smile because I love what I see. I love who I am. I am uniquely me. I'm different.
Yes.
And I love every part of me being different. And that's what that piece just said to me. And I can only imagine it to the listeners who are listening now, from here all the way to Russian Federation, because they're listeners too, all the way.
Yes.
To all, there's somebody that heard that and that can relate to that. Because it's not just a South Carolina or a Georgia issue. It's a
global issue.
And that's why
what you just spoke was so powerful. Thank you, sister. I wanted to interject and just say that I really truly believe that when we develop that self-love on a positive level, that the world can change. Because if everybody hates looking in the mirror and seeing the image and despising the image that they see, there is no way in the world that you're going to be able to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself. And so when we finally get to a place where we can accept looking at the reflection in the mirror and not putting it face down and not trying to pass it up as if it doesn't reflect something that is, we fool ourselves into thinking that the mirror is just reflecting just our physical, when it is so much deeper than that. When you really, really look in the mirror, start doing some introspection. You got to start looking at your inner man and realize your inner me is our biggest enemy. It is our biggest enemy. We tell ourselves lies every single day. You're not worthy. You're not smart. You're not pretty. You're not gifted enough. Somebody else has something more than what you have. I don't compare myself amongst anybody else. I'm not jealous of anyone else's gifts because God gives a gift to everyone, but it's up to that individual to open it up and use it.
Yes.
And accept it and embrace it. That's what a gift is. If somebody gives you a birthday gift, it's for you to open up, enjoy it, be blessed by it. So God has given each of us a gift. But it's up to us to open it up and relish in that and be joyful in that. And so many of us who think we don't have gifts, we actually do. It's just that we have to tap into it. And once we tap into it and then we open it up, then and only then will the world be blessed by us being the gift, being presented to the world.
Yes. Wow. See, and even just now, the way you have that play on words, the enemy is our enemy. Oh, my goodness. Sister, I'm telling you, it is just amazing because I don't want this conversation. And see, what I always do is I always just end my show, you know, at least 30 minutes because I never know how it's going to flow. And, you know, because, you know, sometimes it runs over. And I'm glad that I did that because see how God just takes the show like how he wants to take it. And that's what I love about him and the fact that, you know, he created this platform for me because, oh, my gosh, I still got goosebumps with what you just spoke, with that piece you just spoke. I still have goosebumps. Oh, my goodness. And I'm letting you know, I'm going to repost this show. If they don't listen to nothing else, they need to listen to that spoken word.
Well, I hope you don't want to touch on. I have a cough. I'm so apologetic right now. I have a cough that has not subsided for the past 3 weeks, and I didn't want to cough in the interview. So if anyone is hearing me cough on the side, please forgive me.
Oh, no worries, because you know what? Sometimes I get up here because I want to show up, and I have a cough going on, but I have my tea and my honey. You know, I have all that here, and I'm like, look, you guys, just excuse me. My voice sounds horrible, but I'm here. I got my tea, so I got a cough, so excuse me. So, you know, I just, you know, and that's what I like about the show that I have, because I like for people just to be themselves and realize, and I try to be as transparent with people as possible. Like when I first got on, I was having some issues going on. I had to call into the, you know, I had to call in, you know, I wasn't at my, you know, at my laptop to get on the studio. I had to call in because I had to pick my son up from football practice. He was running late coming out the locker room, and I was, you know, I was like, okay, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I'm running late. So I was, you know, that type of thing. Like, you know what, let me just be honest, I have some stuff going on. So excuse me, I'm fumbling around with papers right now, but this is what it is. Because sometimes people get this image of, because you're on the air, they get this image that everything is perfect. And sometimes we put on that. And I don't ever want people to think that, you know, everything is perfect. I'm human. I say the same thing being an elder. Yes, I am a carrier of the gospel. I preach the word, yes, but I am human. It's not always sunny because I believe that a lot of times people can't get what they need because we either put up such a facade or such an image that people think we're not approachable, or either they have this image that, you know, our lives are so perfect and they can't. Our testimonies or us just being real with people a lot of times will give them what they need.
Yes.
And they'll see that everything doesn't have to be perfect. So that's why I try to say, you know what, when I slip up on words, when I mess up on words, when stuff goes on, I'm like, look, this is what happened. because this you know, because
real.
I want people to, this is the real, because this is, you know, I'm just Shell. At the end, I'm Shell. With all the titles and everything, I am Shell, but on the airways, yes, you know me as Michelle G. And that's fine. But Michelle G has issues with some things. I get fumbled with stuff. I you know what I mean? Things happen. I go through moments where, you know, I went through some transitions and I had to, you know, take a hiatus for a moment. But I came back on and said, look, this is what I was going through and it was really rough. I had to, you know, break up, you know, had this relationship I had to let go after 9 years. But, you know, it was okay. And it was rough for me and I couldn't handle it on being on the air. So I had to have some time with me and the Lord. Because I was like, Lord, you know, this right here, this is for the birds. I'm done with this now. You know, and I was just honest with the people because they need to hear that and they need to see.
But that's the transparency that you're speaking of. That's necessary because I know my sister had told me, she said, it's not, I bet if anybody is looking on your page, they think you probably have it all together. I said, I don't know how they think that. I said, if they only knew my story, but everybody is not ready for the whole story sometimes that you have and what you've been through, because you still have a lot of people out there that's still in judgmental mode, looking at everybody else and trying to condemn everybody else. But I really, I'm at a point in my life, I don't have anything to hide. And if I'm telling on myself, you don't have no power over me. Social media, if I tell it, it's coming out of my mouth. I'm not letting somebody else take hold of my story and then try to think they're going to bring shame upon my name. No, I'll tell my own story. I put a quote in my book. I said, to give somebody else the pen to write your story is plagiarism. How you going to give somebody else your pen to write your story? They're going to miss the points. They're going to miss the parts where God then brought you through to, I mean, after hearing your chinny chin. And I've been there.
Yes.
I've gone through stuff I ain't even expressed to people that I even know and love. But it's not time. Timing, like I said, is everything.
Time, exactly. It's everything.
But I don't want anybody
it's
to look
everything.
At me as if I'm unapproachable. I am. I laugh. Mm-hmm. I'm a humorous person. I cry. I have moments of weakness. I have moments of strength. There are times I want to take the cape off my back, because I feel like I've had to be superwoman for so long. But at this point in my life, I realize if I don't preserve me mentally, emotionally, and physically, I'm no good to anybody else.
Yes.
I'm no good.
And you know, that timing is everything.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
so
it's
I expose myself.
There you go, and that those that don't give them it gives them no way to write what they think or what they thought it was. You tell it how it really was, because you're the one who know, you're the one who lived through it. And timing
That's
is
right.
everything. Now I try to be, you know, when I even when I am, I'm like, if you guys will allow me to be a little transparent, and I'll tell them some. I leave out certain names. I don't tell too much details because I realize even in testifying when I'm in church, some people aren't ready for the full testimony. Some people can't
That's
handle
right.
it. So, you know, I don't ever want to make somebody be, you know, because some things if you tell, no matter how much they see your growth and how much they see where you are now, they'll always look at you at the side eye. So, you know, some things I know I'll take to my grave, because there's some things,
True.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing, you know, there, nobody's going to benefit from that. But, you know, certain testimony, it has to be the right time and in the right space and to the right people. And that's where also discernment comes in. You have to be discerning
right.
of when to speak, when to be quiet, how much of it to speak, you know. And it all plays a part. It all plays a part. I'm just sitting here and I'm, because I got so much more I want to talk about. Okay, I do want to ask you about your books. You are the author of you are an author, and can you tell us about some of your books? I know I'm going to mispronounce it. For Your Seasons.
Yes, you said it right.
Was I? See,
for
I keep,
your seasons
I'm second guessing myself.
Play on words.
Oh, Your Seasons. Exactly, because I'm looking at how it was written. Oh, your seasons, like four seasons. But see, people have to actually see how you wrote it to see that it's four seasons. For your say, I'm like, wait a minute, now this okay, I got you. And then also the most recent one that I put an order in at Amazon just the other day.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us about those two books that you've written, starting with just a little bit about what For Your Seasons is about, and then we'll talk about Poetically Speaking.
Well, For Your Seasons, For Your Seasons, came about after going through a separation. I was married for 19 years, but we separated at year 13. And I realized that I had always said I was going to write a book about my seasons of my life, my ups, my downs, and my all around. So that book was comprised in 2012, but it's poems from even before 2012. So my winter, spring, summers, and falls. And the winters were my harsher months of my life, my springs when I sprung forward, my summers when things were blooming and beautiful, but my falls are those in-between stages of my life where I didn't know if I was growing or falling. It was just that middle ground, not knowing what stage I was pretty much in, but through poetic expression, I put them in those categories. So that was published in 2012, and in 2017, I began writing Poetically Speaking, and I want to tell you all the drama I went through with that book. I almost thought that it wasn't meant because I had so many obstacles getting that book out. But then I finally said, well, either God got something in this book the enemy don't want me to put out, or I'm not supposed to put this book out. And I was like, well, I know he ain't had me getting up, 3:30 in the morning, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and writing everything by date and time for it to just be of no use. So I kept going through every obstacle. I kept jumping over it, going around it, picking it up, going under it, until it actually manifested. And now I'm so glad that I did not give up. And that's the message that I want anyone listening. Just because you're presented with opposition doesn't mean that you're supposed to get out of position, get out of line, and start back at the end of the line. No, stay where you are. Seek wisdom. Ask for guidance. But we got to stop giving up in the middle of the blessing.
Yes.
Because had I given up, this book would not have manifested. I've had people come to me and tell me, sis, I opened up that book, I read it in a matter of a day, and it was helpful to read some of your lessons in form of quotes. And I'm grateful. I need to shout out Bruce George. He was the co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam with Russell Simmons. He's the one that really got me to do the quotes and stick with just continually writing. And now I'm addicted to it. So I definitely wanted to shout out Bruce George. And I'm just grateful for the people in my life who inspire these quotes because it's based off of my lessons in life. But they're poetic. And so that's why the word poetically speaking.
Wow. And it's just, and for me, I think that what really does amaze me, I would say, is how you can turn that into quotes, and you can turn your experiences into poetry. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been fascinated by poets and people who can and spoken word and that kind. I've always been fascinated about it because I can write it and I can write it out and my emotions out into a story. And, I can write it out into a story, but I can't write it into, because that's not something I was gifted or talented in. I can't write it into poems or quotes that give you the same effect as reading the whole story. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because the way
the
way, the way I,
That's why I have the reflection section in there, because I want people, after reading, I want you to reflect mm-hmm. on how what you just stated, I don't have the gift to. You're going to be inspired to start thinking about your own lessons, even if it's a spinoff of something that you read. That's mm-hmm. why I put a blank page for reflection. What did it minister to you? How can you turn your own lesson into a quote, into a poem? And I just wanted people to kind of start digging within to see how they can now turn the inspiration into something inspiring for someone else. And that's really all I feel that I'm here for, is to plant a seed in you, plant a seed mm-hmm. in my children and anybody that comes in my life, plant a seed. Now, I'm not going to be responsible for watering it and plucking it up and all mm-hmm. that. But if I can just plant the seed in you and you begin to water that seed and then start seeing the flourishing of that seed, I have done my job, and all I want to do is inspire. So it's yes. no coincidence you have me on your show, because that's what you do too.
Exactly.
Inspire.
I was like, when you said inspire, I was like, yes, because everything I do, like I said, is to inspire people. And just inspire to, and the be inspired is, it has so much meaning behind that. It's not just be inspired, you know, it's be inspired to live, be inspired to write, be inspired to get up and speak your truth. Be inspired is to be inspired to do whatever it is that you have inside you that you were gifted to do that will push you further to reach your destined place. And
that's right.
And that it just means so much to me that God allows me to be in a space where I can bring inspiration to the nation, so everybody can hear, and I can bring that inspiration to others. And I'm grateful. I'm always so grateful. And people don't understand. I say it so many times, and I will not stop saying it, that I'm humbled, because people don't understand to be in this space. People don't have to say yes when you ask them, will you be on my show? Will you be, you know what I mean? And, you know,
yes.
people don't have to say yes. And when I reach out to someone and they say yes, it always humbles me. And because I'm grateful. And when people, you know, the least you can do is say thank you, you know, and be
yes.
grateful, because people don't have to. And I'm saying that to say, I thank you for accepting the invitation and, you know, for making the time in your schedule to be on my show. It is very humbling, because you didn't have to. You could have been doing anything else.
Well, can I reverse the gratefulness? I'm going to reverse the gratefulness, because you provide the platform. You were obedient to provide the platform and do everything that you were led to do, to even provide artists to come on, for authors, for motivational speakers, whatever the case may be, whatever your guests are and do, you give us the platform. And so I'm grateful that you chose to have me on your show, because you didn't have to. And I am honored. It lines up with what I am doing. It lines up with what I aspire to be and continue to be, because I know that my life was spared so that I may share it. But you've given me a platform to do so, and I am thankful to you, Michelle G., for doing so.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I just I get teary. When, you know, because I finally learned after years how to take a compliment. Because before I was contradicted, no. But now I finally said, you know, I finally learned how to accept. And it always makes me teary. And for those who know me, they know that, you know, they call me the crying preacher. because but that's because I feel so much, you know, and I feel,
yes.
And I'm like you, and I feel when people are hurting, I feel when they're happy, and I feel with them, I'm happy with them, but it just seems that all my emotions come out in tears. When I'm happy, I cry. When I'm upset,
mm-hmm.
I cry. When I'm hurting, I cry. So it all comes out in tears, and I used to apologize for my tears, but now I say, you know what, I'm going to cry until God dries up the tears, until he stops them, because they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of joy for others. It's tears of, you know, I feel your pain. I'm right there with you. I'm empathizing with
yes.
you. You know, I hurt when you hurt, you know, and so I don't, I'm not, I'm no longer ashamed of those tears. And when you were saying that to me, I do thank you. And my eyes got teary. I said, I'm saying to myself, okay, here you go again. But God, I thank you. And I'm thankful in
yes.
all of it, because just even in this platform, I have met some amazing, amazing people. And that I've continued to stay connected to. And I'm grateful for that. And just I being able to be in your space with you has been such an inspiration.
Well, I'm equally honored. And I ask that the Most High will continue to bless your platform.
Thanks.
That you will expand your reach. That you will expand in revenue, whether that be advertisement. That you will have everything that you need to continue to go forward in your purpose, in your call, and in your gifting. So I speak that over you, because I know that that is what you were sent here to do. You were sent here to be an inspiration, and a lot of us need this type of programming. If we're going to get programmed, let it be on a positive note. And not
yes.
something that's going to have us acting like Banshees out there, you know, acting as if we have not known the God in us, the I am in us. So
exactly.
I'm grateful that you are putting out positive information, that you're spreading words of enlightenment and joy and peace and all those, even through the stories that doesn't seem to be joyful, in the end it is. In the end, it is.
Thanks.
Because I'm not sitting up here crying in a mournful state because of what I've been through, because I got through. I'm still going through. But I do know that everything that I've been through to get to where I am now, I am assured, I trust that I'm going to make it through whatever else comes my way. I'm trusting
wow.
that my fortitude and my endurance to get through what I've been through, and I made it through to this point, that I too will make it going forward. And so will your listeners. Whatever you're going through, Mental Health Month is approaching. And so
yes.
if you're feeling suicidal, if you're feeling that you're hopeless and you don't know what direction to take, don't take your life, because you are here on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. And I tried it, and it did not succeed. And so I'm letting you know that had I succeeded, I wouldn't be on this phone with you today. So for anybody who feels that their life is not valuable, it is. You are valuable, are loved. You are here to change the world. But first, go within yourself and know that God didn't bring you here for you to take you out. So I don't guess that's a PSA, but somebody needed to hear that.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. And I receive everything that you spoke, and believe it, it's confirmation. It was something that was spoke over my life a few years back, over a year ago, about this show, that it's not a plan. It's not to continue doing what I'm doing, despite who gets with me. To continue doing what I'm doing, because this radio show is putting out positive. And
yeah.
you don't get that a lot these days. And you confirmed, and you just, you know, and I thank you, and I receive it.
Yes.
God, I am so blessed with this show. I know I have to end the show.
Okay.
Because it's getting that time. But
yes.
And I don't want to, but we have that connection now. And
yes,
and I don't get to Georgia as often as I would love to, I hope to want to just migrate there, actually, to just, you know, move there. But I, you know, my son has 2 more years in high school, and I don't want to uproot him, you know, from school and, you know, and everything. So that is my goal. But I don't, you know, that's my goal. You hear me say that's my goal. But, you know, wherever God
Girl,
leads
Georgia is full. We are full.
Wherever God leads me. So I keep saying that's my goal. But then it's like, okay, Lord, wherever you lead me, I'm not giving you your plan. If you don't, it's not my intention. If it's not your will for me to be in Georgia, then that's okay. I can commute. You know, I can commute back and forth to take care of what I have to take care of.
You can still come and visit, and I'll come visit you.
Exactly. Yes, I'm right here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, right here by the ocean. I'm not too far from you to walk to the ocean from my house. I'm not that far from you.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming.
I'm like two blocks from the ocean. So whenever you want to come, just send me a message. I'm like, all right, girl, come on down.
I sure will.
Y'all
heard it here. She said, I can come. So
y'all heard me say it now. You just send me a message, and you are welcome. You are welcome.
Thank
and I can show you
so
my, you know, I know you've seen the ocean, but, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place when you know the places to go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yes, you are welcome. And I'm grateful for this connection.
Thank you.
I am
so
grateful. You
everything.
Just don't know what you have done for me tonight. You really just don't know how much you have encouraged me tonight. Before I end the show, I do want to give you the space to tell the listeners what you have upcoming, where they can buy your books, and anything else that you have, you know, going on. And if you want to leave them with another encouraging word, you have this space right now.
Okay. I want to first start with a quote that I wrote. You don't need legs to leave a legacy. All you need is heart to do your part. I am on social media. On Instagram, Istian Creations, ISTIAN.creations. And on Facebook, Isna Tianti, ISNATIANTI. My books can be found on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble. That's 4-Year Seasons, Stories of Poetry, and Poetically Speaking. And last but not least, the collaboration of Lessons from My Grandmother's Lap, an anthology compiled by Regina Sunshine Robinson, where I am a co-author. And that's basically it. I have a website. I'm a booked speaker on Gig Salad, so if you're looking for someone to come and at conferences, weddings, you name it, I do it all. And so you can find me on gigsalad.com.
And what was that last thing? Gig what?
It's Gig Salad, G-I-G, Salad, S-A-L-A-D.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's under my name, Isna Tianti, for spoken word.
Okay. I'm writing this down for a reason, so I won't forget it. Although I know how to contact you personally. That's not the point. Yes, I'm writing it down for a reason. Thank you once again for joining me tonight. You can stay on real quick. I'm just going to end the show.
Okay.
But I do appreciate you. I thank you. This has been, to the listeners, this has been such a wonderful, wonderful show. I am inspired, and so much of it has hit spots that I can't even describe. But I want to thank my guest for coming on. She has definitely been an inspiration. You guys get the book. I just ordered one the other day, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to order the other one now. And so, because I've got to have them. I've got to have them. So you guys order the book, look her up. And you have heard, you've heard the example right here on the Be Inspired with Michelle G show. You've heard her, you've heard a quote, and you've heard her speak a piece that she wrote, and it was amazing. So you guys look her up, and thank you. I want to thank the listeners for always being so consistent, they're always supporting me, always being here, that shows up every week to listen to the Be Inspired with Michelle G show. I don't take it lightly. I love you all, and you know that if one person is reached, if one person is inspired and motivated and encouraged, then I've done my job. I've done what God has allowed me to do. I thank you all for tuning in tune in next week. You know how I do. Sometimes I have a guest. Sometimes I just flow and however God leads me to flow. So just tune in next week, next Wednesday, beginning at 6:30 for another episode of the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. Thank you all again. I love you all. And as I always say, good night and be blessed.